Hello? Does this work? Yes. Okay. Since the streaming was interrupted in this slide somehow, I could as well repeat the same information here. So, based on what we said prior to this slide, there are different approaches that could be taken in order to understand the possible threats out there. And one of them, which is being considered in an increasing matter in the past 5 or 10 years, perhaps, maybe more, it's the so-called behavioral approach, which is like trying to understand the attacker's behavior, trying to think like the attacker. So it's like, okay, there are also different other reports which are being used for this, such as what is the average time an attacker uses to target a system and to go through with his actions, what is the maximum time that the average attacker would need in order to understand if he will still go further with the attack or just quit, and so on and so. And then the behavioral approach means that we want to understand more about how could this system, the unit, the network, the organization be targeted, and how could it be improved at the same time. One of the options here is to use the so-called honeypots, which is like a system which, or part of it, or a network, which could be used in order to lure the potential attacker and try to understand his behavior within the system. So once the attacker is in the system, then he will try to address this part of the system or that part, this module, etc. And then the way how he does it, this will somehow turn into a potential pattern which could then reveal what are the most important parts of the system that the organization should be aware of. And this helps usually, of course, the security staff to understand more about the current systems. As I mentioned before, this is largely being used today. There are different events. There are the so-called bug bounties, which are offered from Google, from all the big companies out there, which try to lure the potential hackers in order to understand what is their most vulnerable point, and then how can they improve it further? Yes. And I think this is still the part about the stream, so there's nothing new there. Okay, then we move further. Again, with the behavioral approach, there are, of course, tools that have been built in order to address this, and then one of them is the so-called intrusion detection system. And this is like a network device which scans data, incoming traffic, looking for malicious information out there. What does the intrusion detection system? It detects any incoming traffic which is not really, which is a bit, different from the usual pattern. And then anytime he detects this, it gets logged somewhere, and then the system administrator gets notified of that. So the job for the intrusion detection system is only to log and report whatever the system finds. On the other hand, the scanning, the process itself, of course, would cause latency, right? So the packages, the network packages, the usual packages that should be transferred to the system would take more time than usual. And then how can we solve this? Of course, this is by doing a parallel job here. So not trying to interrupt the usual process, but just trying to copy whatever is incoming in the system and then analyzing it and reporting it back to the administrator. Yes, if you have questions, just click the button on the right. Apart from the intrusion detection system, we also have the intrusion prevention system, which is the next level, which is now not only trying to detect, log, and report the ones that are not normal or not as the usual process, but also try to deny this traffic. So they are not only able to report, but also to block or deny the traffic that is incoming that might be ruled as malicious. And then in this case, we have different examples such as snort, and there will also be some tutorial related to this part in the labs on Friday. So different features here, of course, traffic analysis, logging, searching, and then detecting and reporting, and very much integrative with performance and log analysis tools. So we talked about firewalls, we talked about intrusion detection and intrusion prevention systems. And then, of course, you had more tools, more approaches. You have, of course, the routers, you have antivirus, you have web, email security, and so on. So, and you have, of course, the information and event management systems, or the SIEM, S-I-E-M, which is a set of software, trying to collect and analyze all these security alerts and other real-time or historical data from all the security devices within the network. This is like when we want to install different tools and devices, it's better if you install a package of them, which is totally integrated, and then you don't have to do double work, or you don't have to overload the system too much. And then there's also the data loss prevention software, which is somehow trying to stop sensitive data from being stolen or being transferred outside the network. Good. Then there's, of course, different approaches, more frameworks, and so there's also this approach framework called Security Architecture from Gartner, which is based on four key principles, like actions that need to be undertaken from the organization, from the security staff. And then these actions are, of course, connected to each other. So it's not that we should do this in parallel or separate from each other. They should all be serving each other, and then it's always like a cycle. So you start with preventing. So you start with what you should do in order to make sure that you're doing the right thing. And then once after that, you understand that there's more, because then you need to detect. And then if the event gets more severe, then you need to respond it, and so on and so on. The larger version of this system is like that. So here you go with the preventing part. And then you have to understand how the systems work. You have to make them more robust, more in order to make sure to withstand any incoming activities. And then after that, you have to understand what could still be going on in the detect phase, detecting incidents, prioritizing what should be the most relevant assets or units, and then make sure to contain any possible incidents. But if it doesn't work, then there's the response side and the predict phase, which is somehow for the beginning. or maybe building up to the next phase. And that's a cycle. In the center of this whole architecture, we have the different systems in use, the users, and the whole network. This is the Gartner Adaptive Security Architecture from 2016. And I think this is also relevant for the organizations out there when they're trying to understand how they can improve their security level and respond to the different events. And then another thing which could be done is the creation or the continuous update of the so-called security playbook. Playbook is a term used in many different scenarios, but in this case we are talking about the security part. So it's like, what are the most important reports, logs, events that have been going on related to the security aspects, and how can they be registered in a way that, for example, we know more about the same situation if it happens again, right? And then this could be very much useful for an organization, and it could also lead to future incident detection and also response, better response. So it could help to accomplish following actions such as detecting malware-infected machines, detecting network activities, irregular authentication attempts, and also try to understand more about the different events and try to get more from the correlation-causation approach. One of the last things then is to understand if we are to be an organization that is that will have large activities, then we should also consider either having a unit which is called Computer Security Incident Response Team, a similar unit to that, or being part of the larger unit within the industry, which is like CERT. Usually called CERT, and able or responsible towards receiving, reviewing, and responding security incident reports. You have here different examples, what's going on in the US, Asian Pacific, something from the EU, and also one of the first first CERTs which was built, which is exactly this one here, first. This one also, out of curiosity, I think it was initiated from one of the universities, top universities in the US, and that's how the term started circulating, and that's how, and that's where we are today. So yeah, exactly, the Carnegie Mellon University, the Software Engineering Institute here, was the one who started this whole process back in the day. You also have, of course, the local version of it, which is NorCERT, which is helping ensure that different companies, systems, and the data out there is preserved in order to make sure we are performing comprehensive investigations into computer security incidents. This is also similar to the mission that NorCERT has. Yeah, this was somehow the lecture for today. So based on the discussion raised in the slides, if you could all maybe write about the new concepts here, so then we get more understanding of the most relevant parts. I can put a minute here, and then if you want, you can add your comments. Maybe that's better. Yep, cyber kill chain, IDS, Gartner security model, honeypots, security code. Yeah, good. That's also somehow the most important concepts here, yes. Now, before getting into the discussion part, because I think we have almost 30 minutes for that, and that's very good, actually. First of all, I would like to, again, remind you that there are two recordings available on Blackboard. One of them is about the different concepts around organization. So if you remember the slides in the beginning, we said that cybersecurity could be considered as an important source of competitive advantage. And then someone might not be fully aware of what competitive advantage means. So in that recording, you have all the different parts of why do we say that this is a competitive advantage, and what do we mean by competitive advantage, and how can the organization be understood from the management perspective, organizational structure, organizational culture, and so on and so on. And then there's another recording from a guest lecture which was provided only a few weeks ago to another group of students which I'm teaching. And that guest lecture was about security metrics. When we talked about the attack indicators, like how can we use the attack indicators to understand what's going on with the system, there's a course in the master program called Security Metrics. It's like trying to provide the high-level management of the organizations more information about security, trying to make them more aware about why is security important, and so on. And that's also a recording which you will find in the Blackboard folder, week 43. Friday, as I mentioned briefly, there will be a tutorial on firewall and snort related commands. We will start with this by 10:15 as usual. And then once this tutorial, and maybe once you are already starting with the exercises, there will be this Kahoot session, which will start 11:15. I will be there and try to do it both. I will do this. I will use Kahoot, but I will be in the classroom, and I hope all the remote students can join as well. And then for the next week, week 44, the topic will be about risk. There will be a lecture. But basically on that, we can still discuss. So I have a question here, which is about the group project, but it's also about the lectures and the labs and so on. So you have already received the file, the question, the exercise that you have to go through in order to make sure that you get this project approved. And my question is very simple. Would you rather prefer to use the time that's already there during the labs for this? And by this I mean anything I'm getting lost here between Norwegian and English. So if we try to avoid the time being used for the tutorials and maybe the Kahoot session, would you still be fine with this, with the time for in the labs for going with the different exercises in the group project? I remind you, this is week 43, and we will have to we will have to ask all the groups about the project by week 46. So then you don't have much time on that. So, once again, is the time during the labs okay enough? If so, then you can just choose the first answer. If you need more time, which means you might also make use of the lecture slots in these coming weeks, week 44, 45, 46, that's also an option. So please choose option 2. And then if you're neutral, like, okay, it's fine if we just use the labs. It's also fine if you use the labs and lectures, but also the group you have decided, have agreed upon, that you will still be making use of other slots besides lecture and lab, so that's fine anyway. Then you can use the third option. So please use one of these options. And I think if you are clear now, you can even maybe change your answer if that's better for you. Yeah. So starting from week 44, we can then make arrangements based on your answers. I'm putting here a timer. So I don't think there's much more answers expected, but yeah, okay. A bit curious about the results. I hope it's not like 50-50. Then it's okay. And I hid the result because I didn't want you to get affected from your peers, in a sense. So please just put your own answer. Okay. No more answers? Let's see now. Yeah. Then we can make use of a combination, I guess, of labs and lectures. Yeah. Because that's also related to the type of the topics that are left. So we are left now with the risk, and then human aspects, and then legal and ethical issues. And then perhaps final lecture or so. Okay. Then of course I will make sure to inform you in time. We might have next week's lecture on campus. Or maybe a combination like one recording, one lecture on campus, one recording, and then that's the and then there's the final week. So we could also have that, in a sense. Yeah. Okay. The thing is also, we weren't able to have a useful meeting with the reference group. There was some miscommunication, and then we weren't able to get all the feedback from all the reference group members. Yeah. Good. Then I thought there would be some questions here, but let's see if I could. Please have a stream in addition to physical lecture. I don't think that's an issue, right? We have always streamed our lectures. I'm not sure about the requests here. So even this lecture is being streamed. All the lectures have been streamed. And then if it was a recording, you can just look at it on Blackboard. I'm not sure about the comment here. But anyway, I answered this. So I thought it was default on Menti, but it seems it's not. So if you're able to, we can still make use of the time we have until 12 or something. If there's anything that you're wondering, please write a comment or ask a question by clicking the button here. And then I can quickly answer it. So, yeah, this is somehow the session question and answer, the typical session that I try to organize in the end of the lecture. So besides what has been discussed so far, if you have more questions, more comments, you're welcome to write. And I'm thinking about you in the classroom today and those of you who are not here today but available online. Please write your questions or comments and then we can go through them in the time that we have left, which is more than 15 minutes actually. Yeah, I understood from the way that you're okay. Anyone who doesn't have anything to ask for can leave the room. It's fine. There's nothing else specific to be discussed. Week 43, as I mentioned before, 3 more weeks for you to make sure everything is okay with the group project, and then we can still have another session, specific session, questions and answers for the group project or for anything else in one of the incoming weeks. So I thought there were more questions from your side, but if there aren't any, you are free to leave the room. And we can still meet on Friday and then, of course, next week as well.